meeting of the Communications Committee, and I welcome everybody, including Eleanor at the back from the comms staff. Suzanne seems to have left the room. I note the leave of absence of Councillor Laws, and I'll move from the chair that the apologies of Councillor Kempton and Councillor Woodhead be accepted. Is there a second? Thanks, Councillor Hope. I'll put that. Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
And against, carried. Are there any urgent or late agenda items to be added? Seems not. Any conflicts of interest? We move to the confirmation of the minutes, item 8. And I'd like to formally thank Councillor Hope for chairing the last committee during my absence sitting on a beach. I'll move the minutes. I can't move the minutes. Councillor Hope will move the minutes. Who will second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Councillor Bell. Is there any discussion about the minutes? I'll put the motion. Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Against? That's carried. I note item 9, the actions. We need to keep in mind that action that we committed to in September of looking for other possibilities of joint initiatives, such as the Curious Minds South Dunedin operation, in which we went into joint ventures with other agencies and produced some excellent results, as we saw in this council chamber from the students of Bayfield and King's High School. So I urge people to keep thinking of ways in which we could develop that possibility. I notice Dr. Palmer is nodding, and that's a very good sign. Okay, moving on then to our director's report. And the item 2 was the one that I must admit I got most excited about in this, because it lists the collaborative partnerships that we are engaged in, just what we've been talking about with the Curious Minds model. And you look at 2.1 down through 2.4, and it's great to see how we have gone into those partnerships. Are there any questions or comments about any of those to do with the future of farming systems, the Kopapa Moana idea, environmental impact of winter sheep forage grazing, and the Upper Clutha Water Management Group and their Improvement Fund progress for their 5-year program? Yes, Councillor Robertson.
Yeah, I was really enthused by these too. That's brilliant, and some things that I was thinking about. I think actually the whole country is actually starting to think along these lines. But 2.1 and the future of New Zealand farming systems, that's really key that we start discussing that, and brilliant that we're going to be partnering in there as well. Well done. Exactly, New Zealand does need to be thinking about where we're going with that, and the opportunities as well. So that's one's really good to see, and the 2.3 as well with I know I've been talking about this, and it's great to see that we're already doing it with partnering more with external agencies, and there's just more and more we could be doing that around that yet. I think formalising a sort of structure that means that we do meet with external science providers, we being staff probably more than governance from time to time, would be great. This is going to be really, really helpful to understand best practice and in the field as well in Otago. So there's some very exciting things in that those two. Thanks.
Thanks, Councillor Robertson. Councillor Lawton. I was going to call you Councillor Sutton.
Could be. just on the Upper Clutha Water Management Group, Shan has been spending a lot of time over that side of the region as of late. Thank you. And it's really exciting. The sort of semi-final project plan's been sent into MFE. So once that is finalised, it would be really good to have a bit of a workshop with that group, possibly even invite them over and get them to give us a heads up on how it's going to work and actually what that citizen science aspect really looks like and how a community can drive
it. I'd like to know more about that.
It would be really good. So I think Sean's already mentioned that as well.
Cool.
So.
I have, through the chairman. We've definitely been talking about how we keep the key stakeholders updated in that, including this council and also QLDC. So part of the formalised work plan will include regular updates to councillors at both councils, and ensuring that you go on this journey with them, because they're very passionate and they're very connected to their community, and I think it's a really good example of grassroots action.
Thank you.
Any other comments about section 2 of the report? I'll move on to 3, if not, which is the implementation of the Rural Water Quality Program. And I've already noted in the discussion with Dr. Olson before the ERA progress update, and I found that really interesting as well in terms of our Plan Change 6A readiness. That looked very interesting indeed. Any comment about that? Moving on to field days, workshops and presentations. Councillor Lawton.
Thanks, through the chair. Just in terms of the update of that particular part of the report, having not been here through sort of some of the lingo, I had to read some of the other reports to figure out how this contextualised back in. So another couple of sentences would have been helpful to, just as someone picks this up outside of this council, don't fully understand why it's in there. Yep, just a bit more context.
I think that's a valid criticism. Yeah. Councillor Scott.
No, thank you. I actually attended the East Otago Field Day on one of those days, and it was a wonderful opportunity to hear firsthand from the farmers and so forth. Two other points. The first one is, it says at the start of 3, it says the specific objective for stakeholder engagement activity as outlined in the 17-18 annual plan is to achieve a 90% landholder awareness of the roles. Is that still the situation for this financial year? I thought that was the last.
Through the chair, I'm going to have to pass this question on to Suzanne, because this was before my time, and I had some questions around this as well.
Yeah. So last year our target, I think, was 80%, and we achieved it at 91%. And this year's target was 90%, so we've actually achieved it.
I mean, with respect, you know, we've moved on a lot. I don't know whose target that was. The awareness. And then we started talking about understanding. And now, you know, we've ramped things up, and we're doing a risk assessment and so forth. I think it's timely just to sort of push that particular low-lying target to the back in awareness. We need to be way beyond that. And it's a surprise to me that that's even a target in this annual plan. I don't know where that's come from, the awareness. At the very least, we'd moved from an awareness to an understanding. And from my perspective, we need to get into the implementation. So I say that. I just don't think it's a constructive thing. It's looking backwards. Now, at the regulatory committee, Sean, you said you wanted to give us an update on the on-farm risk assessment on the shag, and that would be appreciated.
Yes, through the chair. So this update on the environmental risk assessment was placed in the report for this round because of feedback received in the last committee meetings.
Yeah.
So I wanted to highlight that the work is occurring, because I know that for councillors there's been a concern that it's been dragging on.
Yes.
So basically, by way of update, we have a consultant's brief drafted, which is going out to market as soon as possible, so following Christmas, so that we can get it out and we get the best possible response. And that consultant's brief is basically asking them to tell us what methodology they would pursue to do this readiness survey. So, Councillor Scott, I agree with your statements around awareness. I think we've moved to a readiness stage.
Readiness, thank you. That's the best word. Yeah.
The environmental risk assessment is the beginning of measuring that readiness opposed to awareness. So we won't be asking questions around awareness in that survey. It's more so about water quality results, whether they're testing water quality, what on-farm practices they're conducting. Suzanne may be able to add more detail to that, but it's more about readiness than awareness. So that's going out to market, and we've chosen, instead of recruiting for the environmental risk assessment, we are going to outsource it so it can happen faster.
Yeah.
The second part is the on-farm risk assessment, which we'll also be working with Martin and Scott in this area, in the enforcement area, and they are project managing this component. And again, they've also developed a brief which Scott and I have reviewed. And the reason for the shag, which was asked earlier, yeah. There's three reasons. There's a newly established catchment group in the area, and we think it's a good opportunity to engage that catchment group. Based on my limited experience, I've found those catchment groups are really powerful, so we want to encourage the formation of those groups.
Right, yep.
The shag catchment is also a small, manageable size, so it's a pilot, and I'll stress that. It's a pilot to look at how we roll it out across the region. So we want to see whether people respond to it, how they feel about the on-farm risk assessment. Obviously, there's some sensitivities, which is why we've outsourced it. We don't think having the ORC badge is the right way to go about it. And the third one really is looking at the low-risk properties and just informing the development of educational tools to be rolled out. And we recently actually had a very interesting meeting with the Ministry for Environment, and they are also developing best practice farm guides. So I plan to either meet with them here or go to Wellington to make sure we're not duplicating that work, because it's coming out of them anyway. So it's good timing, and it works well with what we're trying to do. So the key message here is that we're getting on with it, Councillor Scott.
Yep. Sounds great. I love it. Yep. And I was really pleased to emphasise that it's a pilot, and ideally it's the launching pad for the following year to do significantly more catchments.
Yes, and one more point I forgot to raise through the chair is that there is a science study happening in that area. Dr. Palmer confirmed that for me, and it is a groundwater and surface water study, which is another one of the reasons why we chose that catchment.
Good stuff. All right. Thanks, Sutton. Thanks for those questions, Councillor Scott. Are there any other comments about 3.1, the ERA process? Then going on to the field days, workshops and presentations, which go over to bottom of page 10. Anybody else wanted to talk about their presence, any of those, or their observations? Councillor Hope.
Just on, 3.2,
yes.
The Balanced Farm Environment Awards.
Yep.
Now I'm judging again this year.
Good.
And I think we've got made the double figures, so we're doing well with how many entrants we needed.
Perfect.
And we have three farms to judge next week. It's all go.
Good. Anybody else a judge around the... You were once, weren't you?
I have previously.
Yes.
In fact, through the chair, I'm allowed to ask Councillor Hope. So you've got how many farms? Did you say 10 or 11? Any dairy farms?
Yes, we've got one dairy farm to judge next week and two sheep and beef.
Okay, great.
So it's good.
Councillor Brown.
Oh, I just mentioned I was at the set. I used to take a few days along with Councillor Scott.
Oh, good.
I think it was a worthwhile activity because I understand the staff are quite busy answering questions and fielding inquiries.
Mm.
Good. And also, just sorry, back to the last thing about the shag. I'm very delighted to see there is a catchment group being formed in the shag, because Noslan had a meeting last week, and I put it to them they should be covering the Wainakaroo and all of the Otago, and they agreed that should happen. So the more of these catchment groups covering all of the Otago, the better.
Great.
Yes.
How's Noslan going?
All right. They've got two field days this week, actually, which is probably a bit late in the year, but there was one yesterday and one tomorrow.
Good group.
Through the chair, what I understand from my meetings I've met with Noslam and a couple of other catchment groups is they often struggle with the administrative function of those groups. One of the pleasing things that I've seen with Noslam is they've actually hired a project manager recently, and he's leading a lot of that work, which is fantastic news for them. But that is a key message coming back. They often do struggle with the administration of those of those groups. So I guess food for thought for councillors in terms of the collaborative partnerships model that we look at.
Yeah, we are helping them already, but we need to have a look at that probably for the long-term plan process.
Yeah, I think
how would we know if there were other groups, catchment groups, who needed a bit of facilitation to find a person who can do the paperwork or the secretarial stuff? Because we could certainly step in and help there.
Yep.
How would we know?
Through the chair. So Suzanne's team are very, very embedded in all of the communities, so we're aware of all the catchment groups that are out there. I'm also making an effort to go and meet with those groups and actually stand on their farm and understand what they're doing. And as mentioned in one of the previous director's reports, the idea of the issues or hot topics register would include concerns of that kind of nature so that you're aware of it.
Okay.
Amongst other things, but that would be probably something that would be in that issues register around the funding.
Isn't the answer that all the groups will need some type of support?
No, I don't think so. Some of them won't, but there'll be a few that do.
Well, how many of these groups we got?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting reasonable coverage. Across Tag, North Tag is covered, Shag River, South Tag is pretty much covered, and we've got the Wanaka area, so we're getting there.
Pomahaka.
Yeah, but with respect, through the chair, so like we've had, like in South Otago, we had a group here.
Yep.
Are we saying that they've got a group for all of South Otago? Because I know from previous experience, I've been down and visited previous catchment groups that I don't think exist anymore. You know, you go in and they manage the catchment. You've got this overarching group, what do they call themselves in South Otago? But that is trying its best.
The district council one,
But they came here and we actually raised that very question with them, didn't we, Councillor Scott, about them, because they had such a good concept, and I think I asked them, how can you transport this concept into other catchments? And they were just about to go and do that. They were going to Ettrick, I think, and helping set up a group there. So if they're doing Ettrick. It themselves, we don't need to bother.
The South Otago group was going to Ettrick?
Yeah, they were going to Ettrick to spread the message about how a catchment group works, how they got set up, what they're trying to achieve, how they identified their goals, all that sort of stuff.
Well, it would be interesting to get feedback in terms of, is there anything that we can do to support that? Because to me, as Chan said before.
Yeah. And we can all around this table suggest things as they come up if we go to a field day and hear a discussion like that.
Well, can I ask through you, the Chair, that we get a report in terms of the progress of the catchment groups and whether, as a council, there's anything we can do to support the growth of those groups.
Exactly what we've been talking about.
What's that, sorry?
That's exactly what we've been talking about. But you want it on paper.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. Through the chair.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Ms. Watt can probably comment on this, but as part of the readiness survey, we are intending on including a question about whether they are involved in a catchment group.
Thank you.
Which will be an interesting set of data in itself to provide some answers on that question.
Great. Hey, thank you.
Is that correct?
Very good, thank you. Point 3.3 on the agenda, the media and promotion for rural water programs. Goes on page 10 and 11. Some things happening there. Any questions? Yes, Councillor Lawton.
Can I just be clear, what's the difference between water lines and on-stream publications?
Through the chair. I'm not sure what the difference is. Yes, please. Thank you.
So Water Lines is a paper document that we send out quarterly, and it goes to all rural properties in Otago.
Okay.
So not urban communities at this point. It's a rural water update.
Right.
On Stream is our e-newsletter that goes out once a month, and we get people to register to receive it. So when we're out at community meetings, we ask people if they wish to sign up or not. They can unsubscribe at any time, and it generally covers. It started off just covering water, but we've actually started broadening it to touch on some of the pest meetings and a lot of the work that we're doing as a council to make people aware of different meetings that are coming up that they might want to get involved in.
Do we see it's still valuable to have both, or do we combine them? Or?
They're both bloody good.
They're both really good. I feel like both are really valuable for information for everyone to know.
Yep. May I make a comment?
Yes.
There is, as I mentioned in committee meetings, there's a strategy coming to council. One of the proposals within that strategy will be to review all of our newsletters. What I found interesting about those two particular publications is that they're very water-focused, and we often don't get a chance to talk about the whole of council and what's going on. And they're also at very targeted groups. So we want to look at reviewing the distribution and also the content and possible amalgamation of everything into one source of truth. But that will be a workshop with councillors.
Cool.
Yeah. Great, thanks.
Isn't this exciting stuff?
Yeah.
My golly. On to item 4, water management groups. And we've noted already that the Manaherikia and so on, meetings have been held or are coming up. And that's really important because they have been not so much in the process up until now because of the strategic work going on the Manuhirakia. So that also covers off 4.1.3, the deemed permit replacements in the Manuhirakia. I've kind of summarised that for you already, and I don't like doing that. Anything else in section 4? Councillor Lawton?
I'll just highlight this is another place where I had to go to another report to find out what round 1 meetings and round 2 and 3 meetings did.
Okay.
It's a bit back and forth.
Very good. Our staff have committed to going back in February to outline the outcomes and progress. Oh, that's the flood report. Yeah. 414. Sorry, I jumped ahead there. Does anybody want to say anything about that? Maybe Dr. Palmer, you want to give us a quick verbal insert on the July flood report back. Give you a quick verbal.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I note that a number of councillors here were also there. They may wish to add something, but the meetings were very helpful. We used it as an opportunity to update them on what we have been doing, the extensive work program following the floods to do with channel surveys, the NIWA weather event analysis, that's the subject of the technical committee this afternoon, and those sorts of things. As indicated in the report, there was some useful feedback about things the community would like to see, and we've given an undertaking to go back in February at the same time as the draft long-term plan is being consulted on with how we have responded to those matters raised with us. Things like being clearer about our maintenance programs and expressing them in a way that a landholder and a ratepayer can understand, for example. So, yes, very constructive.
Great. Councillor Scott?
Just a quick, I went to one of those reports, one of those meetings, and it was a good positive meeting. And my perception of it was a generic sort of report in terms of the floods and so forth. One thing it didn't do was, for example, I didn't go to the Henley meeting that was held in Henley Township, but it didn't endeavour to come up with a solution medium term, long term for like Henley, for example. It was more a general sort of report back on the flood. Is that fair, Dr. Palmer?
Yes, I took it that the community was looking for us to maximise the performance of existing infrastructure through maintenance rather than a demand for large-scale enhancements.
Uh-huh.
And with respect to Henley Township, Mr. McLean and I have offered to meet again with the residents to talk about their concerns around some of the maintenance activity and floodbank crest levels.
Have the Henley people shelved the idea of a sort of a mini contour channel along the back of the township?
That's a matter that we will determine when we meet with them.
Okay.
The Tyree meeting at Henley was really a meeting on the wider Tyree issues.
Yep.
That briefly covered Henley, but Mr. McLean and I have spoken to some representatives, and we will meet with them to talk about some of those more specific things that are specific to Henley Township.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll keep up to date with that. Could you let me know when that is going to happen? I'd like to, or if I could attend that follow-up Henley one.
Yes, we'll inform councillors when we have lined up a site visit.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Councillor Hope.
At that meeting, at some of those meetings, it does come apparent how hard it is to actually communicate with some of these residents that have been flooded. And if I may, through Suzanne Watson, you might be able to help me a bit more here. We talked a lot about this, didn't we? Trying to get into contact with people who are affected. And it's a really important thing that you passed on to them, didn't you, through the public meeting by saying, look, if you want to be, you know, we want to keep you up to date, but you have to help us by providing your details, your email and that sort of thing, because we can't get it. Is that correct? Am I telling the correct story?
So emails are commonly not in the phone book. Landholders, well, we can access land owners. If the owner is not the occupier, we can't really get the occupier. If a land holder is a pastoral organisation, we can't necessarily get their contact details.
Yep.
We're limited with what we can use our rating database for to access people's private information. So part of what Sean and I have in the strategy is a customer relations management tool. It will help us, but actually getting the information and keeping it up to date is a real, real challenge.
Mm.
That's very interesting. Councillor Scott.
And once we get that contact information, what type of information would we communicate? So once we get it, if we're endeavouring to get an up-to-date database of those people that are flooded, what would we do with that?
Through the chair. Well, I'd imagine the first thing we do if we look at consolidating our newsletter is try and get some subscribers for that, so they at least get council news. And then I'd say at least have specific groups where if there are flood-related communication pieces, we could get the information out to them quickly or hear from them quickly. But a sophisticated tool would be able to filter people into their specific interests, and you'd have a very methodical way of collecting their information and having tick boxes around what they want to hear about.
Yeah, and it's a matter of, it's a silly question, but is that actually our responsibility? It's an innocent question.
Yeah, keeping a close relationship with potentially flood-prone residents, I'd say is quite a high priority for us. We don't want to dwell too long on this, and I think we're all looking forward to the proposition from the director, Suzanne, about how they're going to create this mechanism or this tool, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Through the chair, I guess the question is it an obligation or is it a desire?
Yeah.
And how do we want to be seen?
No, fair enough.
It's not how we see ourselves, it's how others see us. And that gets tied into very much reputation and how we want to be seen, and that's a discussion that I'm going to bring to councillors once NEC starts and has a look over my ideas and plans.
Well done.
Philosophical question, I guess.
Yeah, thank you.
On to item 5, the policy dealing with the Clutha minimum flow and water allocation consultation and the similar work in the Arrow catchment to do with minimum flows and water allocation. Any questions about that? Item 6 and Biro schools.
Just briefly.
Yep.
Just a couple of comments. I attended four of them. And I guess there was some really good feedback in the forum around, I guess, the breadth of interest that particularly the Queensland Lakes area have, but also I was in Alexandria yesterday as well. Just opening up a forum like this actually opens up a whole can of worms for anything water related at all, or even not even water related.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for me we were trying to talk about the Clutha, but people, you know, top of mind is actually a number of the other lines of consultation that we're working through, like the Arrow or the Cadrona, for example. And I guess I've had some conversation with the staff, Chan and Tom as well. Can we do these engagement opportunities better? Is there a better way of having oversight? I saw one of the reports even gives an update of, you know, where we're at on each of the different plan changes, and would that even be worthwhile just having so that people can get an understanding of all the different things that are happening? Because it does feel like, if particularly for people that are willing to give up a very beautiful afternoon in the Queenstown Lakes and not be walking around the lake and sitting in a room, is that they're generally the people that are the same that turn up every time. And if we go in with an introductory presentation, they're generally beyond that in terms of their understanding, and they want to get down to the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
So I would love to have the opportunity, I guess, to workshop and try and figure out how best to engage those people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's great that we're going out before we start doing any of the detail, but I think there's a sweeter spot somewhere in there than going out and saying, we don't have anything yet, tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great job, well done, but for what we thought we were trying to intend, but I'm not sure it's meeting our communities where they're at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very helpful feedback. I'm sure Tanya's noting that. Sharon.
Through the chair. Yes, agree with everything you're saying, and I think that we can always do better.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about the potential of where we can go with consultation as an organisation, and those discussions have begun internally, and both Tanya and I attended those sessions with the very intent of looking at the process and seeing what was working, what wasn't working, and generally attendance, topic, outcomes, the whole gamut. And we had some very lively discussions following all of the sessions around scope for improvement. But certainly I keep hailing back to the strategy. One of our goals in our strategy yet to be endorsed by council is genuine community engagement to enhance decision making.
Yeah.
And there's a series of actions proposed under that to look at diversifying our channels, but also making consultation really meaningful.
Yeah.
And just one further point through the chair, that opportunity, I guess, and being able to show the community that they have been heard, that's what they really want to know, is that the information has been captured somewhere and that we are going to take it on board and it's going to feed in somehow.
I can see the website filling in there really well.
So we've worked on a sort of frequently asked questions page as well,
that's
just
good.
Collecting that information. And it was great to work with the team.
That'd
in terms
a good
of
approach.
And just one last thing is that I shared the Clutha Mata'au video on my Facebook, and it's by far the most liked thing that I've had for a while, so well done to the communications team. People think it's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, more of that to come, hopefully.
Awesome.
Yep.
Worth a look if you haven't seen it.
Shane, you keep referring to the strategy.
Yes.
When is the committee going to be able to have a look at the strategy?
Through the chair. So originally I intended to bring it back in January, and I had briefed Mr. Boudicca on it, but given the changeover of CEO, I've been throwing the idea around because it's hard, because I want to keep moving and I like getting results, but I also feel it's very important for the new executive to feel like she's part of the plan and to give her feedback on that plan before it comes before council. So I will be, I'm hoping to wait until after she comes just to gauge her reaction on the direction it's taking.
I think I can speak for the whole committee and say that is a really good way of doing it.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. Item 6, Enviro Schools. Lots of interesting stuff there, and the most interesting of all is 6.1, with the Waitaki district now joining. And that's very, very good news. It's become a very rich vein of activity that this council is now associated with. We don't have a lot to do with it, but we can take a lot of pride in what the people who are now part of our organisation are causing to happen in schools right across the region. And it's not just because I'm an old teacher, but I think it's just really exciting to see the new generation of Otago residents getting stuck in. Anything else on item 6?
And you see St. Gerard's School mentioned there in 6.3.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure of spending a whole day with the Year 7 of St. Gerard's testing four tributaries of the Manu Herakia.
Brilliant.
And it was an interesting day. It was pretty hit and miss science, but that wasn't, I suppose, totally the point. And a pattern will emerge anyway, even if they keep the hit and miss about the same level. But the interest that the kids were showing was what was really the rewarding bit.
It's
a complete side issue, and maybe it should be all women sitting around this table. The girls were far more interested in what was going on than the boys were about 20% interested, and the girls were 90% interested. In fact, so frustrating with the boys was that I was someone telling the teachers that perhaps they should bring back the strap, but apparently that wasn't an option. But anyway, overall it was a very enjoyable day. Finished with a swim in the Manuhurikia as well.
So. I think it's happening anyway, Sam, don't worry.
We've got a girl who wants to say something.
Girl, thank you. I'd like to bring back the point that Gretchen brought up last time we had this conversation, and that girls and boys do learn differently.
Yes,
and
yes.
Just because they may not be as intrigued as the young girls there.
No.
Yep.
They're multitasking.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another one, Councillor.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say 6.1. That's really delightful to see a Maori school's number, and you must have been delighted to see Councillor Brown about that.
Yep.
6.2, that's really great to see that primary school feeling the energy, but I would like to say I would love to see some rural children attend this as well, if we could do that next year. 48 students from 12 Dunedin primary schools is wonderful, but we also have a big rural sector.
Yep.
And I think I'd really like to push to see some children come to Dunedin, to Toitū if we could. I think
really you get those Strathtory kids, don't they? Yeah.
You know, there's some great kids all around our country, you know, from your area too, Council Lawton, all those places, and we need to tap into that.
Thanks, that's good thought. On to number 7, public transport. The bigger ticket item, of course, was the Queenstown Orbus PT launch, and there's a few people in the room who played a very big part in that. Welcome, Jared. Good to see you here. And Eleanor, I know, was a right-hand person in the whole process. Any comments or updates on the Queenstown PT service?
I'd just like to thank generally also Sian's team and, of course, Jared's team for the work that you guys have done on that. It has hit Queenstown in a big way. The additional sort of effort put into engaging with some local media people and, you know, really getting a local feel was well and truly the best possible thing that could have been done for that. And it's a really good one for you to get your teeth sharpened on, Sian. Well done for being thrown into that situation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously all the other timeframes and the rest of the team and Jared for the timeframes in terms of having brought that forward. So, well done. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing, I think somewhere in the report it says, you know, it kind of had some hiccups type thing, but or to be expected hiccups. Well, you know, I think we can take that out. It's part of launching a massive and complex process and was done incredibly well.
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you said. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Through the chair, just a quick shout out to Councillor Noon, because he stepped in at short notice on the day and did a fantastic job. So thank you very much for being briefed 15 minutes before the event and nailing it.
Through the chair, I just want to reiterate what Councillor Lawton has just said. You know, we had a taste of the Sian Sutton style in terms of the promotion, and I think we'll see more of that as time goes on. It went down particularly well. You know, certainly the Queenstown Lakes District, I'd like to think with the stats that are starting to filter through, are going to embrace the new service. And obviously congratulations to Jared and his team. This has been a long journey.
Yeah.
And as Councillor Lawton has alluded to, it's come forward in terms of the delivery of the service, and it's put pressure on. But ORC, along with their partners, have delivered.
Yep.
And I think the team can be proud where we've got to.
Yep. Jared, this is the comms committee, so we've been talking about the communication side, but on the operational side, PT, we congratulate you too for the way the whole thing has been conceptualised and now implemented. Did you want to say anything, Jared, or are you here for the later committee?
Through the chair, I think I'll give an update through the finance and corporate.
Yep, that's cool. No problem. Anything else on that? Let's move then to item 8, environmental operations, Bureau inspections, pest plant diversity strategy. Comments or questions? Nope. Sian?
One comment through the chair.
Yep.
Somebody asked earlier around numbers on those drop-in centres for the pest plan.
Yep.
So there was 54 people across all of the drop-ins. but a really interesting piece of information was that 45 people filled out the online form. So it was almost equal in terms of online participation and face-to-face, which is interesting.
I wonder how many was set of both.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
It's not that many, is it?
No.
No.
It's not.
And so as a matter of interest, so what does that mean? You know, like, because we've had a pest plan, we had a forum, and then so we're getting this community feedback, but really, you know, like, do we need to do it again?
No, I think it means we wait for this new communication strategy,
okay,
which we've been talking about.
Sorry.
And then we'll talk about the background approach to how we consult, because we've obviously got a comms team who are busting with ideas about that. So I think we should move on right now.
Fair enough.
To number 9, the science hazards and engineering. I'm particularly excited about that leaf amenity project and the consultation that's going to happen there to do with the section from the 4th Street down to the harbour, which is frankly a bloody disgrace in Dunedin City, the way it looks. And we can do, I think, along with our partners in the Leith, so much better. But we'll just see what happens in there anyway. Yeah, Councillor
Robinson. Yeah, just on that one, it just occurred as well that, great doing the values and a working group, but would it possibly be helpful to have a landscape architect or something like that working with that group right from the start to be able to conceptualise and what's possible and, just form a relationship nearly from the start, perhaps past the values but pretty soon into the project rather than at the end point.
I think that's a really good idea. Dr. Palmer, what do you think?
Yes, it was our intention at an appropriate point to get some
great
of that kind of assistance for the for the group.
Yeah. I remember Vice Chancellor Sir David Skegg sitting probably about here a few years ago describing that part of his campus as looking like industrial Poland.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good description. Anyway, not with all respect to the Poles. Moving on then to item 10, which is biosecurity. We've already discussed wallabies and rabbits. On to item 11, general public awareness. Lots of interesting data and interpretation, graphics. I found this all entirely fascinating. And I hope the rest of you did too. Is there any comment or question for the director about this section of her report? It's great to see the evolution of active, interactive website. Councillor Robertson.
It is good to see this, and very rapid progress, so thank you for that. Slightly different, but thinking about interaction and online stuff, and Ella and I were fortunate enough to go to a young elected members retreat recently. Not feeling that young, actually, but
so young right now.
Yeah, but just thinking about social media and the way that people interact with councils around the country, apart from our council. And actually, councillors have quite a big role. We're quite behind compared with others. We do feel a bit, standing orders, and the chairperson of the committee gets to talk on the subject and that's it. But there's a lot of opportunities by opening our minds to being more communicative as governance. And I know DCC probably has experience, QLDC probably does. We just need to open our minds to how we can be helpful. Our community's expected of us now. Mm.
Good. There's a lot behind what you were saying there, and I'd like to hear more about it. Do you want to add something?
I was going to add something else, but the media training session that we went through for the young elected members was just amazing. There was a lecturer from University of Canterbury.
The media advisor for the All Blacks.
Yep.
Yeah.
And lecturer, so she had the practical experience with the academic. You get put on the spot and actually have to be in front of a camera. It's really good. So, yeah, I think it would be valuable, and I have also spoken to Ms. Sutton about that as well. There was another point that I wanted to bring up. So just having had, two letters sent in now, and we're going to be hearing by teleconference from a member of the community on the other side of our region, I'm going to bring it up again as an opportunity in the communications aspect of the meeting around trying to connect up to use video conference. Or some sort of, it doesn't necessarily need to be video conference as we know it. It can be Skype for Business, it can be Zoom, there are multiple different avenues. I think asking people to attend a council meeting so that they can present their ideas in a fully functional way, driving 7 hours to do that is unfair. We don't hold meetings on the other side of our region currently. So therefore, the only chance that they've got, particularly if they're volunteer groups, is to currently phone in. In Queensland Lakes District Council, we didn't expect people to drive 50 minutes over the hill just to have a 2-minute session. So I would really like this council to explore that. I can't imagine that there's actually a massive investment needed. It is just simply needing to put the time into thinking about it, but I'd like that to be explored. Both in terms of being a councillor that may not want to drive 7 hours for every short meeting, but also I think really importantly for our community who might want to be able to be present and present their ideas. So can we have an action relating to having
what you're asking explored? For is for the staff, or for the acting CE in fact, to put together a paper which proposes possibilities for the way in which we can be interactive with people who, say, live in Wanaka or Orwaka or...
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Or somewhere north of...
Or even, bedridden down in South Dunedin.
Yep, yeah, that's right. To easily communicate by video conference with this council.
Yeah, through the chair. It is something that we are actively looking at. With respect to this room here, we haven't looked to retrofit it because the room is very large and it's quite difficult.
And we're moving out.
And the primary thing is that we've known that we're going to be moving out of here. And with the move down to Phillip Lane, where the chamber's going to go to, we're looking to make sure that that is fitted out with some sort of video conference. Capability. So we acknowledge that it's not great for this public forum coming up. It's not great for councillors who have to travel, like you say, for short distances. So we've definitely got it on our radar for Phillip Lang and the new building.
Great. Can I just add as well, I think the opportunity is that it's incredibly flexible. Some video conferencing, you have to buy in the video conferencing setup. I teach, my students from around the world on this laptop, and we can all be present. Mm-hmm. So it's that flexibility built in that we can bring in consultants, you don't need to have a video conferencing set up.
It's just FaceTime, really, isn't it?
It does get difficult when you've got a huge number of people and you've got people talking from all around the room. We are set up over in the main building where all our meeting rooms are set up, and so we're regularly using Skype, and you said some are using Zoom, different mediums to do it, but it's just, this building we haven't retrospectively invested in it because we figured that it would have been a wasted investment.
So I'm saying, can I be invited to be video conferenced into things rather than phoned in? That would be great, thank you.
Okay, coming back to the agenda, I'm very sensitive about holding things up, even though this is a really good meeting. Anything else on section 11 to do with our website, our channels, our interaction with our region? No? Moving then to 12, which recommends that we note this report, which seems a very humble way of saying to our director, thank you heaps for a brilliant job well done. I've missed out the appendix, of course, of all the meetings, and I should say thanks so much to the comms team for putting together not just a list of next month, but of 5 pages of council engagements right through to December of next year. And I think that is so helpful to have that. Councillor Hope.
I was happy to remove the report.
Good, thank you. It's been moved that we note the report. Seconded Councillor Bell. Any discussion? Those in favour say aye.
Aye.
No.
Against? Thank you, everybody, for a specially interesting committee meeting.